This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now we're dead center of the work week, which means in just a few minutes, your chance to ask Amy anything. We're leaning with a Thanksgiving theme. And so you can find us on either of our social media sites at Amy After Hours, and then our Facebook page. You got a few minutes left to send your questions. I don't know that people use all Thanksgiving questions, but since it's on the horizon and trying to think my schedule next week, Pete and I are both out on Wednesday night into Thanksgiving morning and Thursday night Thanksgiving into the Friday. I'm really looking forward to it. I had one day off in early November. That was election night, just because I'm a news junkie and I like to watch. But otherwise, I haven't had back-to-back days off since August when my mom was visiting. So I am really looking forward to it. And we also have company. It'd be tough for me to sleep during the day when they were awake. And how do I cook a turkey? Probably not advisable to be cooking a turkey when you have been up all night. So that doesn't seem like a good idea. First time ever making my own turkey. And I know my brother and my husband and my new brother will help out. But for the most part, I have to be in charge of this thing. And so I didn't feel like it was a good idea to be cooking and open flame and all that jazz when I would have worked overnight. So taking off those days next week. So I guess we will have one more Ask Amy, because we'll have one more hump show before we get into the Thanksgiving long weekend, which a lot of people look forward to. 80 plus million Americans will be on the move come this time next week. I know Tuesday has become more of the getaway day. Obviously, people take off Thursday, Friday. What I hear, this is what my younger friends used to tell me, is going back to my previous network, that the biggest night of the year for people to go out, as in go out, drink, go to bars, all that kind of stuff, is the Wednesday night going into Thanksgiving, which they tell me because it's just a holiday the next day. Who cares? I don't know. It seems like, I guess those would be people who don't have to worry about cooking anything, who just are showing up somewhere else and someone else is cooking for them. So that seems appropriate for, yes, teenagers and 20-somethings, although I can't imagine teenagers are going out, but you get my drift. So it's a distinct, hey, young people versus old people thing when people go out on Wednesday night. So I do actually like working on Wednesday nights. In the last couple years, I've worked, two of the last three, I've worked on Thanksgiving night with all the football, but this time hosting for the first time in my new house. So I'm looking forward to that. And actually, Pete, I told you that I was already trying some new cookies. I hadn't baked since producer Jay left, which was July. You had not tried any of my baked goods as the actual producer. So
I tried one.
No, I mean,
yours, I haven't. Yours in particular. I tried one. You brought in something.
What was it?
It was from a family member. It was those cookies.
Oh, so it wasn't me.
No.
I didn't bake it.
Yours in particular, I have not.
Oh, gotcha. Maybe it was my sister-in-law with the ube cookies.
Yes.
Okay, so right. My sister-in-law made ube cookies. We brought those in. I brought those in the night that we had our dog, Mello. Michael Duarte and our dog, Mello, in studio. Mello ate a bunch of the ube cookies. I did not tell my sister-in-law that, because I figured that would not be something she'd want to hear after all of her hard work over the cookies. Now, we had some, but also Mello really loved ube. So I hadn't baked myself any type of cookies, nothing pumpkin. I missed the whole pumpkin season. I've only had two pumpkin coffees, actually. Missed the whole pumpkin season, missed all of that, just because it was such a crazy fall and just a lot of things going on in our room that we were trying to make or trying to get built and all that jazz. So over the weekend, my nieces were coming to visit. I decided this is it. I'm going to tear the Band-Aid off. I'm going to get back to baking. But I wanted to try something new. Little risque, if you will. Instead of oatmeal scotchies, which are oatmeal butterscotch cookies, I made white chocolate oatmeal scotchies. You just tried one. There's many more in here. Would you like another?
Sure.
Would you like to? Hold on. Okay, you talk. I'm going to come bring you another cookie. So that way you can try it while we're on the air. Yeah. Just talk amongst yourselves.
I'm a big fan of white chocolate. This hit me right in the heart.
Now I'm here in the control room.
Amy's here in the control room.
Producer Pete is getting another cookie.
I am getting another cookie.
White chocolate.
I am in the process of getting another cookie. White chocolate.
Okay.
I love it. It tastes. I'm going to try another one here for everybody.
You didn't think I was running away,
tastes
did you?
Tastes good.
Pete, I have no idea what you said because I didn't have headphones in. But now you're talking with your mouth full, which is great.
I was describing you walking into the control room.
Oh, gotcha.
Deliver these, deliver white chocolate. I love white chocolate.
Oh, good. Okay, me too. I also love white chocolate. So those are white chocolate oatmeal scotchies, and they're pretty. They're fall colors, so they help me to decorate. That was my big reintroduction into baking. What do you think?
A good reintroduction.
I love that Pete's talking with his mouth full. That's awesome.
Yes.
Could you hear me yelling as I was walking?
Yes, I
okay,
could.
Perfect. No one's ever accused me of being quiet. I didn't want people to freak out because all of a sudden there was dead air. Nope, but that is the, I'll be honest, first time I've ever left a studio while I was supposed to be on the air.
You were very excited about those cookies, that's why.
I was. I wanted you to try one on the air. So glad they got the Pete seal of approval. I'll give you some to take home to your family, too. But those actually thought they turned out pretty well. My nieces loved them. I sent some home with my nieces for my brother and sister-in-law. So I'm back in, baby. I'm in. Let's go. Next week, well, I'm not going to tell you because it could be part of Ask Amy Anything. But yes, I feel like the baking is a thing again. I missed it. It's some of my stress relief is baking. I really enjoy baking.
It's a good stress relief, especially when you're making cookies like that.
And actually this year I'm going to take some to the firehouse. I've been chicken in the past because I thought they would tell me, no, we don't want this stuff. Like during the pandemic, I thought they might turn me down. I would have felt terrible. So this year I'm actually going to go and take some. I've got a couple of different recipes that are fun. People have asked me for this recipe before, and I feel like I've forgotten to pass it along on social media, but oatmeal caramel chewy bars, those are really good. So I'm a big fan of oatmeal cookies and oatmeal bars, and then, oatmeal apricot bars, which don't even require mixing. Those are so easy to make. Also delicious. Those are two favorites.
I get to the store, I will get a big thing of oatmeal. I love oatmeal. A big container of the Quaker oats. And,
me too.
I'll have it, and I'll have it for basically, that'll satisfy me for about 30 breakfasts.
I was going to say, so we actually go through, because we both eat oatmeal for breakfast a lot, and we add the Quaker Quick Oats to their flavored packets. Oh, yeah, we go through one of those. And plus, we meet with the baking. In a couple of weeks, we need another one.
Oh, yeah.
So we're big oatmeal peeps in our family. Now, see, these are questions you don't have to ask, but if you do have other questions about food and the like, the Thanksgiving fair, at Amy After Hours or at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page.
And that's technically the kickoff to the food coma that we're going to be going through for the next
excited.
Week and a half.
It's my favorite holiday of the year, my favorite meal of the year, half hour away from Ask Amy Anything. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. If you missed it, TD of the Week poll is still open for a couple more minutes. Coming up, we're going to get to what I feel like is the coming out party for one of the top rookies in the NBA who slid a lot farther down than what many people expected initially, but that's kind of the nature of the NBA draft. But one of our big topics tonight is about the potential coaching changes in the NFL, even as we see the Jets fire their general manager. So we're going to get back to that. We know the Lions are not making a coaching change. They love Dan Campbell. We love Dan Campbell. Randy is in Detroit and wants to talk about the Lions. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Amy. First of all, it's an honor to be on with you.
Thank you.
I work in Metro Detroit. I work for a community college. I've been there 20 years.
Wow.
I'm not dating you that far back, but I've been listening to you for a while.
Oh, yeah. 12 years. 12 years at the end of December will be exactly 12 years since the network launched.
Oh, okay, and that was with CBS, and now you're with Infinity.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same network, just changed the names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
don't ask
it's
me why.
An honor to talk to you, finally.
Thank you.
I got a lot of stuff going on with my Lions, don't I? From where we were.
Mostly positive.
Oh, absolutely positive. They're going all the way, baby. And I did want to say it's an honor to talk on on hump day, you know, as well. But congratulations late to the party on your marriage.
I appreciate that.
And my thoughts on the Lions were exactly that. I think with their depth, the injuries that they have, and being able to overcome them because of the changes in ownership, general manager, offensive line, defensive line coaches, head coach, atmosphere. I mean, the sky's the limit, and I'm all in.
Yeah, I love the way that they've been able to overcome the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. That's a big deal. And not just the fact that he's a terrific player, but also his spirit, his energy, his leadership.
Absolutely.
All of that's so key. So the fact that they've got such a team chemistry and a team that's bonded, for lack of a better term, this is a team that plays so hard for the guy on the left and the guy on the right. They're not just playing for themselves, and that's really how you develop chemistry. Partly it comes from winning, but really it comes from culture and it comes from leadership, and Dan Campbell has brought that. I love the identity that's toughness and grit and take no prisoners, and that also comes from Dan Campbell. I mean, it's amazing how the team has become really an extension of him on the field. And that's, I wouldn't say it's something we never see because that's not true, but it is relatively rare. And you could tell from the beginning, that very first press conference that he had a plan for this team. It was just a matter of whether or not the guys would buy in. And it's clear they love playing for him.
And the next thing I want to mention is we're not there yet. I'm not.
That's true. It's week 12.
In. There's still seven games in this season.
Yeah.
But we can see that we're more than halfway there. And the way we're playing right now, we can see the top of that mountain. And I just hope they finally crawl up. I have an 84-year-old father that remembers, you know, the Lions in 55 and 57 when they won NFL championships.
Wow.
In 1971, I was 7 years old. We're watching the Lions. He says, "You like football, boy?" "Yes, Daddy, I like football." "You like the Lions, boy?" "Yes, Daddy, I like the Lions." He said, at this time, he said, "As long as the Fords own the Lions, they're not going nowhere." Now, that was his opinion then.
Right.
And it continued on all the way up until almost now. But I want to give props out to Sheila Hamp Ford.
Mm-hmm.
She went out and got her man in and said, "You run this football team." And so my thoughts are no longer, you know, the reason my dad said that is because this is a football town. Detroit always has been a football town. You couldn't keep the fans away from the stadium long enough to force them to put the money out because they ran it like a business. That's the way my dad thought. But, you know, that goes away over time when you finally start having success.
Hmm.
You know,
what was your dad's reaction to their appearance in the NFC Championship last year?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was amazing. I brought him over to my house.
Oh.
I fed him. We watched it together on the couch. And, you know, I want to see it go all the way for him. You know,
that would be awesome. I can imagine there. I can imagine there are other families in the exact same boat who would feel the same way.
A lot of them.
Yeah, generations have spanned.
Everybody in this area is resonating with what I'm saying right now. If they're hearing me.
Generations who've watched the bottom of the barrel, then be the pit of the NFL at laughingstock at times, and now look at them.
16,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Of course, yeah. They were the first team. That's right. So that's exciting. I can't wait to hear the story, Randy. So make sure you keep in touch with us and let us know how Dad is doing.
Oh, that would be cool. All right, Amy. Honored to talk to you.
Thank you. Have a great day in Detroit. His hump day. His Wednesday morning. So if it's you listening in Detroit, it's your Wednesday morning. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the big change in New York maybe is just the next domino. Because remember, it wasn't long ago that Woody Johnson, the owner of the team, the managing owner of the team, fired Robert Saleh. And this is what he said after firing Saleh. This was, 5 weeks into the season?
This is one of the most talented teams that has ever been assembled by the New York Jets. I wanted to give this team the most opportunity to win this season. I feel that we had to go in a different direction, and that's why I did that today.
So he lets go of Robert Saleh really early in the season. They promote Jeff Ulbrich. It's not gotten better. And I'm not blaming Jeff, only that the coaching is not the primary issue. Now they have also fired the general manager in Joe Douglas. The team was 30-64 with him as the GM. No winning seasons, no playoff appearances. They, if I'm not mistaken, they have the longest drought in the NFL now, right? The longest playoff drought in the NFL?
Yes.
But there are still a half dozen games to go, and he wasn't a lame duck. Well, he was going to be a lame duck at the end of the season, right? Didn't have a contract for 25. But the idea, you know, that you would do it now, I guess, according to Woody Johnson, that gives them a better chance to get the person that they want because they get a bit of a head start. Amy Trask told us that going back a couple weeks ago when she was on the show, that sometimes in-season firings were made because franchises wanted to get prepared, get ready, do their research, and have an early jump on the hiring cycle. So maybe that's the reason. But, you know, Woody was extremely angry after the loss to the Colts, in which they rallied in the late stages of the game. They were, what, down 9? Down 8 or 9. They came back and they won by a single point. And Anthony Richardson, much maligned young quarterback for the Colts, leads them on 2 late scoring drives. Then you have the reports from The Athletic that he actually wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers after week 4. Well, since then, they've got one more win. So the writing is on the wall, no doubt, for sweeping changes with the Jets organization. And I think that should include Aaron Rodgers. He wants to go play somewhere else, and there's someone, or there's another team out there that is still a believer in his abilities or has a spot for him, great. I never tell guys to retire. If someone's going to pay you to play football, why should you retire? If you still think you can play and you still have the desire to play and someone's going to write you a check, then play. It's like someone saying to me, you should retire from radio. Well, I'll retire when I'm good, damn well, and ready to retire. I'm not retiring before then. As long as someone is paying me to do radio and I have the desire to do it, well, then I'm here. That's the case for Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think the Jets is the right place. They've already wasted 2 years trying to make it work with Aaron Rodgers, and it's done nothing but fall flat and actually continue to make them the gum on the bottom of the NFL shoe and the butt of all the jokes. A lot of people would point to Woody Johnson. And Pete, I was actually thinking maybe on our next show, because we have a lot going on tonight, but we should ask people the best and worst owners in sports, in your humble opinion, right? So,
we'll get some doozies on that one.
Right. This is going to vary from team to team. It's going to vary from city to city. It's going to vary from fan base to fan base, from coast to coast. So it's obviously in your humble opinion, which I know many sports fans are not humble, but who are the best and worst owners in sports? And we just heard Randy talk about the Lions. People have been blasting the Ford family and their leadership in Detroit for years. And all of a sudden, look at this. Wow, what's happening here? You know, they've turned it around, and the majority owners got the guy she wanted, and so now maybe the Ford family isn't so bad. But it certainly is. It's fickle. It's cyclical. But yeah, a lot of people pointing at Woody Johnson and saying this is on you. He's not a football guy, but I would agree with him. He did bring in a bunch of pieces. They just had the offensive and defensive rookies of the year 2 seasons ago. This was a team that a lot of people, and maybe you don't want to admit it now, but a lot of people going into last season before Aaron Rodgers got hurt and again this season picked the Jets to be a Super Bowl contender. So if that's the case, Woody Johnson can't be doing that bad of a job if the roster itself is indicating this team should be a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender, then you can't say that Woody Johnson sucks at what he's doing. Now, maybe you don't like who he hires as the managers or when he fires people, but to first call them a Super Bowl contender and then say, oh, wait, now he's the worst owner in sports. Well, that's kind of like saying Jerry Jones sucks when Jerry Jones is responsible for putting together a team that last year won 12 wins in a division title. You got to give him some credit for being in charge of these things.
I think he's buying into philosophies that he probably shouldn't. I think the good thing that's different between him and Daniel Snyder in terms of like football standpoint. I'm not talking about the other stuff. I'm talking about the football standpoint. Is that I think he will invest the resources into the team. And
oh, he wants to win.
He wants to win. I think Daniel Snyder is just, I don't know what he wanted to do. He wanted a quick fix. But I think the two big things that the Jets have done over the years that has been a mistake is go for a quick fix in terms of players. So like Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. That,
right.
Like I wanted
Rodgers
here.
They're looking for the home run.
I wanted Rodgers here. I did. I pushed for it. But it didn't work out. But most of the time he's gone for that type of fix. However, in terms of the coaching and the GM standpoint, it seems like a lot of their coaches and GMs have been first year. And their first job is
right.
The Jets.
Sala didn't know how to coach when he got the job either.
I mean, and then you had Gase, who was just, you know.
The eyeballs.
Eyeballs all over the place.
Adam Gase.
But, like, I think they would benefit. The two things they would benefit from, directions they could go in, is something totally different. Something they've never done before. Someone that's going to come in there and command a room. Maybe run the whole thing. You know, someone like that.
Bill Belichick.
But we've heard Gruden's name thrown out there. I don't know if that's the direction they go.
He's definitely an alpha male.
Right. That's a very different direction than they've done. The other thing is bringing people that have had head coaching experience and have had GM experience.
Oh, I agree with that.
That's I think, a must if they don't go in a radical different direction.
I agree with that. You can still find us at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Send your late questions for Ask Amy Anything. Couple minutes left to vote for TD of the Week. Coming up, one NBA rookie just had his coming out party. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Russell dribbling left. They were in the picket fence for Connect. He's got it. Three-pointer by Connect. Good again. This is... the last guy I saw do this was Kobe. He's hitting everything. Connect dribbling. Gets it to LeBron. Back to Connect. Open for three. Good again. That ties the NBA rookie record for threes in a game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dalton Connect. Do you remember when he slid to 17th in the NBA draft? It was a shooting maverick out of Tennessee and tore up college basketball in his final year with the Vols, and yet slid to 17th in the draft where the Lakers grabbed him in the first round. But he just tied the NBA single game rookie record with 9 triples, a career high 37 points, and the Lakers needed all of them to beat the Jazz late last night, their 6th consecutive win. So yeah, LeBron, yeah, Anthony Davis, even getting to Austin Reeves and his double figure points, but Dalton Connect can be a piece that they desperately need. And I love the confidence that he's got as well.
The first shot, every time I see one go in, I think the next one's always going in. Even if I miss it, I always have the confidence that my next shot's going in. My dad always told me that, so that's just my confidence. I didn't know I scored 21 points in a row, but you know, I just got in the groove. My teammates found me, and they were looking for me every time I touched the ball. Or not touched the ball, but when we got the offense. And then, you know, JJ was calling plays for me, so they made it real easy for me. I just had to get open and get the shot up.
Anybody that knows that you hand the ball, you get the ball to the hot shooter, the hot hand, if you will, is JJ Redick, who certainly had those nights himself. And he's joined the starting lineup now. So JJ Redick has got Dalton Connect as a starter. 4 games ago is when they made the change, and that coincides with this win streak that they've got. And so he can catch, he can shoot, he can create, but he's a volume shooter too. When he's hot, you got to give him the ball. So coming out party there on the Lakers radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, just minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. Send your last minute questions to our different social media sites. Colin is in Wisconsin. Colin, welcome to the show.
Amy, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always. Always an honor. It's been a while, but hope you're doing good. And as a February birthday, it's always been a dream of mine as a diehard Packer fan to have Super Bowl Sunday on my birthday.
Wow.
But now the Lions might win the Super Bowl on my birthday this year.
Ooh,
so
will that hurt?
That could be a hurt, but yeah. We're not losing to Michigan this year, so thank God to that for Ohio State. So
you're an Ohio State Green Bay fan?
I am.
Okay,
and the Brewers, of course. But the Brewers, ugh.
And the Bucks suck right now too. But
didn't the Brewers just win Manager of the Year with Pat Murphy?
Yeah, but that way that last playoff game went on his best pitch going gone. It frustrated me.
I gotcha. Well, there's always next year, and still they've got right leadership in place. Well, that's an interesting combination, but I would say, Ohio State, Michigan with Jim Harbaugh in California, that's a much different equation this year.
We're pretty safe there, but we got a big game against Indiana Saturday. I'm very excited for that. And then the Packers got San Francisco. Hopefully we can recover from that. Hopefully we can play good. We had a nice win over the Bears with a blocked field goal. We still own them, so that's good.
Well, I think the big key is whether or not Nick Bosa is anywhere near the field, because if you watch the game against Seattle, the Seahawks had two touchdowns after Nick Bosa left. So he's really the heart and soul of that Niners defense. And now Brock Purdy's day-to-day as well with a shoulder. So there's some injuries there that means the Packers may be catching them at the right time.
That would be cool. I would love a win over them. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even though they're 5-5, most teams would look at that as a quality win.
Right, for sure. Well, you have a good weekend, Amy. Enjoy the football.
Thanks, Colin. Henry's in Detroit. Henry, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. First time, long time. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment, going back to the Jets. I feel like with all of the recent signings of seasoned players, I'm not trying to detract from any of the players that they've signed, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, all of those players are absolutely exceptional. But I feel like they have kind of what the Lions were doing a few years ago, where they're trying to recycle old talent and expecting exceptional results. And I feel like you can't do that with every single position on the field.
That's true. Now, I would say with the Jets, they kind of felt like they were in a good spot because the defense was so good. We talked about the defensive rookie of the year in Sauce Gardner, that defensive pass rush, the Hassan Reddick piece, and he held out for a while. So I feel like on the offensive side of the ball, they were doing exactly that. They were recycling, trying to recreate almost what Aaron had in Green Bay, where he won a couple of MVPs with Matt LaFleur, right? So having Alan Lazard bringing in, Dalvin Cook. That wasn't obviously his teammate, but still, that was a weird one. At least he was familiar with Dalvin. Then Devontae Adams, some of the other guys they brought in, his former quarterback's coach, an offensive lineman. Like, those were things, and I agree with you there, on the offensive side of the ball, that's exactly what they were trying to do. It's almost like they were trying to recreate the set, if you will, and give him that comfort. And that's too many older guys who have injuries that are part of their history, and you were playing with fire. Now, the big thing, of course, is that Aaron wasn't supposed to tear his Achilles four plays into last season.
Of course.
I mean, that completely derailed everything. But I do have to blame the front office for trying to do it again this year. I mean, they should have brought in some different talent. Now, I love Breece Hall. He's terrific.
Of course, they
obviously have Garrett Wilson, but the defense has not been great. And I think that's a huge part of this, is you don't have that margin for error with the offense because the defense has not nearly been as good as what they expected.
So everybody and their brother talks about how momentum never, doesn't carry over from season to season. So I feel like there should have been something to reinvigorate the Jets defense to kind of get it back to last year's performance, whether it be draft or, signing someone to maybe juice up the locker room a little bit. I'll leave you there. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Thanks, Henry. Good to talk to you in Detroit. Have a great day. I like the insight there, and kind of comparing to the Detroit years of futility. It's not like they didn't have players that were making a name for themselves or were Pro Bowlers, even all pro guys. Just, you can't haphazardly throw a group together without the right leadership and without everyone being on board. And the Jets, they'll get this unit together, but then something else falls apart. They don't have the right coach. They don't have the right this. They don't have the right that. And trying to put all of those pieces together when they clearly weren't going to fit. And I like what he has to say about bringing in some fresh talent. And again, they do have young guys. But how long did it take Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson to get on the same page? Partly because he was out for last season, but also because his comfort level, his trust level, that has to be earned. Aaron has always said that it's got to be earned. He was comfortable with Alan Lazard. He wanted Devontae Adams. These are guys that, yeah, he's got a history with, but Lazard is on IR and isn't playing right now. And they've just made some moves to try to keep him happy that were moves that backfired. And yes, then the Jets defense not being anywhere near as good as what they expected it to be. That was also a problem, though. You got a couple of minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That's coming up next with producer Pete at the helm. A bit of a Thanksgiving theme. Not over the top, but we love food around here. Just as a side note, the numbers that we've seen from the Jets, too, I was trying to look them up. Their rushing yards are third worst in the NFL, right? So with Breece Hall, he was so good a couple years ago, right, when his rookie season, he tore his ACL, but then he started to get healthy again. Braylon Hall is another one. And then you think about their points scored. They've just been unable to get into the red zone. So lots of issues for them. Their defense, it's not the worst in the league. It's just that they don't have a margin for error, to finish that thought. Ask Amy Anything. You don't have to ask me about the Jets because we just talked about them. So, Pete, we'll have your questions next. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, well, major changes obviously in store for the Jets, but it seems a big change was nearly done after the loss to the Broncos in Week 4. According to The Athletic, owner Woody Johnson wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers after the brutal loss in the rain in favor of Tyrod Taylor, feeling Rodgers was holding the team back. It didn't happen, and after a loss in London to the Vikings the next week, leaving them at 2-3, Robert Saleh became the first casualty, followed now by Joe Douglas. GM shown the door after a 3-8 start, a 30-64 reign in his nearly 6 years in charge. Now gangrene is a pair of interims, former Browns GM Phil Savage, along with Jeff Ulbricht, who's been there. And you got to wonder where this leaves the 40-year-old Rodgers, who's said he wants to play next year. Plenty of talk surrounding Deion Sanders being on the move. Rumors of the Cowboys being in play, but Colorado head coach trying to quell any thought that he's leaving Boulder.
I'm happy where I am, man. I'm good. I got a kickstand down. You know what a kickstand is? A lot of people don't in there and not of age don't know what a kickstand is. That means I'm resting. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic about where I am. I love it here. I truly do. Next question.
Top five remain unchanged for the college football playoff rankings. You got Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, and Indiana, while BYU tumbled from 6 to 14. NBA, the Celtics looking to hand the Cavs their first loss on the season.
Tatum driving on the edge. Knocks him away, so he's all alone for a left side three. At the buzzer. The night for Jason Tatum, and the Celtics have needed every one of them.
33 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists for Jason Tatum. Celtics have been the Cavs 120-117, ending Cleveland's win streak at 15 straight to begin the season. Call courtesy of the Celtics Radio Network. Rest of your scores, Lakers top the Jazz 124-118, thanks to 37 from Dalton Connect. Mavericks buried the Pelicans 132-91. Nuggets overwhelmed the Grizzlies 122-110. Spurs down the Thunder 110-104, and the Nets up in the Hornets 116-115. College hoops top-ranked Kansas routed UNC Wilmington 84-66. UConn dominated East Texas A&M 81-46. 15th-ranked Marquette, too much for number 6 Purdue 76-58. And Kentucky overwhelmed Lipscomb 97-68. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
It's time for Ask Amy Anything, part of the Hump Show. Thanks, as always, for your questions, the good ones and the bad ones. When your kindergarten teacher told you there was no such thing as a bad question or a dumb question, stupid question, she was lying. Pete's not going to ask those. He's got creative, intuitive, insightful questions.
Hard-hitting. We're going to get to the heart of everything. We're going to start with start on X or Twix. What are your favorite Thanksgiving appetizers?
Oh, so good. Well, I'm a huge fan of the side, so I try not to eat too much before Thanksgiving, only because I want to be able to eat turkey as well as all the yummy sides. But this year, my husband, now this is crazy because I don't like jalapenos. They make the top of my head burn. He does these jalapeno poppers that are stuffed with cream cheese that are to die for. Mm. So we're going to have those. Also, and I'm doing this because I just like to make fun dishes. Have you ever had kielbasa in a crock pot with, are you ready? Sorry, I'm thinking about one ingredient. Grape jelly and cocktail sauce.
Oh, wow.
So you mix. It's a sweet and sour. You mix the cocktail sauce and the grape jelly. It gives it a little bit of a punch to it. And then you make the kielbasa. Now, one of our family members doesn't eat pork, so I'll have to go with turkey kielbasa, or maybe I'll, no, I won't pretend like it's turkey and get actual kielbasa, because this Wisconsin, half Wisconsin girl loves kielbasa, but yeah, that's a good one too. Or you can do it with meatballs, so you can do that same recipe but do it with meatballs. So he's doing poppers, I'm doing the grape jelly cocktail sauce concoction.
Kielbasa in the crock pot, that sounds very appealing.
So good. I'll try to bring you some leftovers, it's delicious.
Oh, thank you very much. Julie on Twix wants to know, what are you serving for the Thanksgiving meal, but also are you serving anything out of the norm?
Well, I think kielbasa in grape jelly and cocktail sauce is out of the norm. So we're not doing mashed potatoes this year, which is, this is hard for me, Pete. I had to give up some of my control over the Thanksgiving menu because my other half does sweet potatoes. So he's got a sweet potato casserole, but this is a little, like I said, a little hard for me. I don't recall the last time that I had a Thanksgiving without mashed potatoes, but I won the stuffing argument. Okay, so he doesn't normally do stuffing. They don't put it inside the turkey. I will be putting stuffing in the turkey, even if it makes a complete and total mess. So it wasn't really an argument, but I gave on the potatoes. I relented on the potatoes because I actually do like sweet potatoes. It's just Thanksgiving without mashed. And then we're going to do the actual stuffing, the dressing, whatever it is that you all call it. But that is a must have, and they don't normally do it, so I got to have it.
Well, that's the great thing about Thanksgiving is mixing the two families or all multiple families
first time.
Together.
First time.
It's a great thing about Thanksgiving at the end when everything's done.
Let's hope we don't blow up a turkey.
Speaking of turkey, white or dark meat, and have you ever fried a turkey? That's from Louise on Facebook.
I've never fried a turkey. I've been to Thanksgiving meals where they have fried the turkey, and it's usually the skin is crispy and the inside is really juicy, which I love. Another way that my husband and I differed, he likes dark meat, I like white meat. So we were originally thinking about having just part of the turkey, maybe the turkey breast, since there's only four of us, but we can't. We have to have more than just the turkey breast because he likes the dark meat. So a full turkey is. These are all things that you don't find out until you actually are married and have to have these conversations.
That's right. Or if you ask Amy anything.
Oh, true. Good
That's
point.
That's right. Steven on Facebook, a little bit off the Thanksgiving, but food
That's
related.
All right. I like food.
What meals have you cooked for Bob lately?
Actually, we just did a fun one on Tuesday night that I found in a recipe book because we were looking for something easy. It was Parmesan chicken orzo with peas and mushrooms. It was really good.
All right.
But I'm trying to think what. Oh, well, so I make terrific chilies. And I, if I do say so myself, chili is my signature. And so I just made him and my nieces another big chili on Friday night. It was delicious. We did not put radishes in this time, but I've started to put some radishes in the chili because they give it a little extra bite. Something else that I like to put in chili is banana peppers. Also gives it a little extra tang, a little extra flavor. I did not add hot sauce. I used hot Rotel. And then all of my nieces and Bob added hot sauce to my chili. Okay. wasn't hot enough for them with the hot Rotel. But yeah, chili was the most recent. I'm trying to think what else that I've made recently. I do kind of different soups and stews. So there's a cowboy steak soup that I do that's really good.
Billy on Facebook.
Hi, Billy.
Giblet gravy. Do you guys make that for your Thanksgiving meal?
Yes. I don't eat the... So you call them giblets?
Giblet gravy.
I think I've... Okay, sometimes I've called them giblets before, but that
giblets.
Could be just me. That could be me. I don't know.
It might be me.
Pecan, pecan. Yes, my grandmother and my mom both did that, so I do, but I don't eat them. So they go in the gravy, but I don't like to eat them.
Chris on Facebook. Cranberry. Canned or homemade?
Right. Well, so when I was a kid, my brother ate too much canned cranberry sauce and threw it up. So that's, and I don't like, I'm not a big fan of the canned cranberry, too sweet. But we do have a recipe from my grandmother that is homemade. And this is awesome since I'm not going to see any of my family other than Bob. He has the recipe and he swears he's going to make it this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So we didn't end up spending Thanksgiving together last year because there was a death in the family. So we couldn't do it. But he had the recipe. So he swears he's going to do it this year. I'm really excited.
I want to hear back about that.
All right.
Joanna on Facebook.
Maybe I'll bring you some of that too.
Oh, I got a whole table coming. Do you go around the table at Thanksgiving and share everything that you're thankful for?
everything, that might take a long time. The turkey would get cold. But yes, I think now this is my first time again with Bob's side of the family. So I don't know what they do, but I do know that my family, when I'm with my family or with friends, we generally do at least express Thanksgiving for one or two things as a group.
Have you or Bob ever hunted a white-tailed deer?
Interesting. Well, that's a annual pastime of Bob's until this year. I feel so bad, but it was kind of hard for him to get registered in New Jersey and not having a place to hunt. So he did it this year. I'm trying to encourage him to go back to Texas and do it because he's still got guns registered there and his bow. I've never actually hunted myself, though. I grew up in New Hampshire and there were white-tailed deer everywhere. It was always hunting season. When you were out, you had to make sure you wore the bright colors of the orange so that you weren't mistaken for a deer in the woods. So I'm comfortable with hunting. I've dated different guys that have hunted. We're going to get overrun by deer if you don't hunt them. That population multiplies rapidly. We have them all over in our neighborhood. But no, I've never hunted myself.
Well, we can't have pet deer?
They carry ticks, so just be careful if you're... Also, they can be kind of mean. If you've never noticed, the doe, they'll chase and kick and bite.
What's something you like to drink with your Thanksgiving meal?
Well, you're going to laugh, but I am a big milk drinker, and I love milk with starches. So people laugh at me. This is one of my crazy things that I do. I drink milk with pizza. It's delicious.
Okay.
I know. You can make fun of me. It's totally fine.
You're not the first one.
I drink milk with chili. I love to drink milk. And so for me, to go along with the turkey and the potatoes and all that jazz, milk is perfect. And then more milk with the pie, of course.
What is your favorite Charlie Brown holiday cartoon?
Oh, the football. Where Lucy continually pulls the football out. Poor guy. He trusts her every time. She's very convincing, very persuasive. So, yes. And also love the Charlie Brown Christmas tree just because it's hysterical. And when I was younger, I had one that looked quite like that.
At this moment, it's kind of related more Christmas, New Year's.
Oh,
what is your biggest goal for 2025?
Well, I don't know that I am ready to share our biggest goal for 2025, but I will say one thing that's kind of farther down the list is we went to the driving range this year, but I still have not played a round of golf in 3 years. It, just everything that's happened in our lives, the traveling we've had to do. So playing golf and just trying to be more settled because this year has been really crazy. Our first year of marriage has been quite the nutso. It's 3 weeks until our 1 year anniversary.
It goes fast.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe it.
Right. So how about just being more settled? How about one day of being bored? Just one day of being bored. I can't remember the last time I was bored. Also want to get my career choices lined up and make sure that that's all settled. But we do have one big prayer and we're just, for now, you just know we've got goals, Pete. We've got goals.
That's all that needs to be said. All that needs to be said. One more quick one before the top. It's a sports-related question. How do you feel about teams retiring numbers?
You need to earn it. Don't retire numbers for a guy that played for you for 2 years. So if LeBron played for... How long was it LeBron in Miami? 4 years? I don't think they need to be retiring his number. And then guys change numbers all the times too. So, there should be some type of... A Hall of Fame requirement. Retire the number if the dude gets into the Hall of Fame, okay? Thanks for your questions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.